I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. On the radio from 1 until 4.
After 4 o'clock, whatever you missed, you can hear it on the John and Ken On Demand podcast on the iHeart app.
Well, the legislature is going to go out of session in just a couple of weeks, so this is where they sweep up all the bills. We told you last week they went through the suspense file, which is nonsense. But anyway, the one thing they did do that we covered last week with a lot of coverage was the fact that they moved forward a bill that will punish those who sex traffic minors with the more harsh penalties. Another one, though, that they move forward, which is not particularly good, is Assembly Constitutional Amendment Number 1. And it's a big attack on good old Prop 13, passed in the late 70s. Let's bring on John Kupal from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. He's the president, to talk about the dangers of ACA 1.
Welcome. How are you, John?
Good. I wish it was just ACA 1. ACA 1 would lower the two-thirds vote down to 55% for anything identified as infrastructure. Now, what is infrastructure? I guess the question is, what is not infrastructure? So that is a real threat. However, as bad as that is, and by the way, that is a direct assault on Proposition 13, but perhaps the greater assault and threat to Prop 13 is this kind of sideways attack that they've come up with a new Assembly Constitutional Amendment, number 13. If you think the selection of the number 13 is a mistake, it's not. I think they just want to rub salt in our wounds here. It would effectively invalidate an initiative measure that we've already qualified for the 2024 ballot. As you guys know, the courts have weakened Prop 13 substantially. We have worked very hard to qualify an initiative called the Taxpayer Protection and Government Accountability Act. We got millions of signatures that's on the ballot in 2024. They have proposed this constitutional amendment that would make it virtually impossible for the Taxpayer Protection Act to pass by requiring that initiative and that initiative alone itself secure a two-thirds vote of the statewide electorate. Getting a two-thirds vote of the statewide electorate is virtually possible. Even Prop 13 came close, 64%, but even the original Constitution of 1879 didn't pass by two-thirds vote. So this is a poison pill, very sneaky. They're jamming it, and here's the danger. The danger is the new Speaker of the Assembly, Robert Rivas himself, is backing this and he's jamming it. And fortunately, we have lit up the phone lines and the business community is on our side, the realtors, everybody on our side of the ledger is in a full court press to get people to call their legislators against ACA 13. Yes, ACA 1 is a threat, but at least, as bad as it is, ACA 1 is intellectually honest in that it is a direct attack, and I think we could beat that in a straight-up fight. I'm less confident that because it's so oblique and obscure, this ACA 13 would have the same effect. Now, the proponents are saying it doesn't have anything to do with Prop 13. Fortunately, nobody buys that. We don't buy it. We've been defending Prop 13 for 45 years. ACA 13 is a direct attack on Prop 13. Everybody needs to know that. They're going to try to jam it this week, and people should go to our website.
Yeah,
go ahead.
John, we got to be honest with you. You're really confusing the listeners with the two ACAs, and I don't think I even know the difference right now.
I know.
What? All right.
I know if you say ACA 13 is more important, let's focus on that so we don't lose the path here because I'm confused. I had to go look it up here while you were talking, and I found an opinion piece by you just a couple of weeks ago on it.
I'm confused, too. ACA means Assembly Constitutional Amendment. Okay.
And that's something that would go before the voters. So this is not something that they pass in Sacramento when it's law. It would go before the voters. Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
And this would lower the voter approval to borrow money for bonds and tax increases from 2/3 to 55%, as long as they slap the phrase public infrastructure on it or public housing.
Correct. That is ACA, Assembly Constitutional Amendment number one.
Okay. That's number one, John.
Right. Yeah. ACA number one.
And if you think the confusion is unintentional, it's not. This is why they're doing this. This is why they're doing that. If you look at the digest for ACA 13, you guys know that we've qualified this very pro-taxpayer initiative for November of 2024 that would restore the 2/3 vote for local special taxes. That's been the law under Prop 13 for 45 years.
Okay.
They don't like it. They don't like it. Oh, that ULA case?
Right.
That is one of that real estate transfer tax, that is what precipitated this whole thing. And what we're trying to do is simply restore the 2/3 vote for local special taxes. And what they've said is you can't do that unless the initiative that you're supporting, a statewide election, itself has to get a 2/3 vote of the statewide electorate. That's never happened. It is. You see what they're doing?
Yeah, I understand. I understand. It's just as you were saying it, I wasn't familiar with the Second Amendment. And so I was trying to understand as you were explaining it, what is it going to do? And this is going to be really hard for people to follow. But it's extremely important. I understand why we have to discuss this. I'm on the fly trying to figure out how to explain this to people in a way that everybody's going to understand it, because I was hitting a wall on it, and I guess Ken was too. So,
well, are they both going to appear on next year's ballot? Is that what you're saying?
Well, we're trying to kill them both. And I do believe we stand a better chance, quite frankly, of defeating ACA 1, which is a straight-up lowering of the 2/3 vote. That is a proposed change in the Constitution that we have defeated five or six times before. It is one of these perennial measures that come up every year. They try to move something through the Assembly to lower the 2/3 vote for special taxes, and we're able to defeat it. This is where ACA 13 is this unusual thing to try to prevent us ever going on offense again, because that is what the Taxpayer Protection Act does. It restores Proposition 13 to its original intent, and they are trying this kind of weird way to prevent that from happening.
Wow, they just fight you constantly, don't they?
So I guess to protect our money, we'd have to say no on Constitutional Amendment 1 and on Constitutional Amendment 13. No on both.
Correct.
Okay.
And yes, on TPA, Taxpayer Protection Act, in November of 2024.
But all right. Well,
we've got to defeat.
But these two are on the ballot
time, right?
In March. Amendment 1, Amendment 13 on the ballot in March, right?
They could do it. They could do it. I think they're going to try to get ACA 13 on in March.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll have to fight one thing at a time, because otherwise it becomes just a mess.
It does. I appreciate your patience, because it is, I mean, these sneak attacks, and they are so creative in the way they come after us, that it's incumbent on all your listeners to try to understand that. And I know
I think most people listening understand that these propositions are loaded, and the purpose is to snow the average voter. I think after the Prop 47 experience, which has caused so much mayhem in our lives, and after the high speed rail experience, which has been an ungodly waste of money, I think people who pay attention are on to the game. They might not know the specifics that we're trying to wade through here, but they know that when these ideas come out of Sacramento, they're bad. And the Sacramento crowd is lying about it, and they're trying to confuse us and manipulate us and all that. So
I think that's right. That's right. And I hope people's antenna and cynicism are up all the way for this one.
Yeah, believe if we have trouble explaining all this, trust me. If you're at home right now, you want to vote no on this stuff, because this smells bad.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, John. Thanks for coming on again with us.
All right,
we'll sort this out again down the line.
We have till March, and the people vote in the primary. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it, John Kapala, Howard Jarvis, Taxpayers Association.
Take care, you guys. Bye.
All right. Again, it's a couple of attacks on Prop 13. That's what you have to remember. But, you know, we'll have a voter guide. We'll go over it again. It was just a little tough to follow there with the two coming at us at the same time, somewhat close in nature. All right. More coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Yeah, and use that app to connect to the Moist Line. It's coming up fast in 3 days. Use the app, the microphone icon, or the call the toll-free number, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. We'll be going to Bidenville after the news at 3:30 for more on that book. Excerpts are coming out, a book about Joe Biden's first 3 years as president. Some interesting chapters in it. We move over, though, to the other side of the aisle, the Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell. They're calling them his health episodes. Well, the news today is that the Capitol physician, Brian P. Monahan, put out a second letter. And in this letter, he's saying that McConnell's health problems show, John, no evidence of a stroke or any kind of a seizure, including what you mentioned, which is the mini stroke, the ischemic.
Mm-hmm.
That says
well,
that
what
didn't
is
happen.
It then? Well, if that didn't happen, then what happened?
Back in March, McConnell was leaving a dinner at a restaurant, and he fell and hit his head and suffered a concussion. That left him visibly slower in his speech and stride, and they think this might be a lingering effect of the concussion. The doctor didn't say that. That's where the speculation is going. And that at 81, it's harder to recover from those kinds of falls than younger people. So they're saying that could explain part of his frozen episodes, if you want to call them that. Don't know what that is.
Right, but, so
his brain just locks and he can't speak or do anything but stare.
So instead of his brain being damaged by Alzheimer's or blocked by a stroke, it got dented because of this fall.
That's right, and it's still healing.
Yeah,
a concussion is like your brain kind of floats around inside your skull or something, right? It kind of jolts. And
yeah.
This is what happens to NFL players.
I read something the other day about an athlete who has had it's been out for months. He took a pitch to the face, and he was laid up for months, and it's called cascading concussion syndrome.
Oh.
And there was a complicated article trying to explain what goes on, because they've done a lot of research now and testing, and there's so many biological events that go on inside a brain when it's suffered a concussion. And there's no way to explain it on the air. It's too complicated. You need an advanced degree to understand it. But it's clear that you know, it's it people used to not take concussion seriously. They used to think it was just a headache and it would go away.
They did,
but
right.
if you get a really bad knock on your head, that could change your personality for good.
Yeah, because we'll have to see whether or not, you know, months from now he's still like this. He's not up for re-election until 2026 anyway, so I don't think he has any plans to go anywhere, like Dianne Feinstein. The doctor wrote there is no evidence you had a seizure or you experienced a stroke, TIA, that's what John's referred to, transient ischemic attack, or some movement disorder such as Parkinson's. But you know, there was no elaboration on what actually did cause the episodes. That's why people are speculating about the concussion.
Well, yeah, I know. That's the thing. It's like we're supposed to believe what they say, except they don't want to give us the real answer.
Well, they gave him a brain MRI, and that's where you can tell of damage from a stroke.
Right.
So,
well, but it's all...
Unless they're lying, it didn't show up.
It's different roads to the same conclusion, though. His brain doesn't work that well. There's something malfunctioning there. The why of it is not as important, really, as to it's happening, and this could be a permanent state.
Yeah, he told Democratic Senator Dick Durbin, McConnell did, well, I've taken every test they've thrown at me. The concussion can take its toll, so I'm going through recovering from a concussion. That's apparently his story, and he's sticking to it. So, all right, when we come back, we're going to be in Bidenville. There was an attempt today, and of course it's a reporter from Fox News, to ask the White House press spokesperson about some details coming out in a book about Joe Biden's first 3 years as president, including one episode where he was complaining about being treated like a toddler. Wait to hear the response from the White House press spokesperson and more on the book. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're
a
figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
Podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We'd like to formally welcome you to the rest home of Old Joe. Welcome to Bidenville, everyone.
All men and women created by... Go, you know the thing.
There's a man on the moon or whatever, you know, something, or, you know, whether those aliens are here or not. I commuted for 36 years as Vice President of the United States.
Happy birthday, dear Talbot. Happy birthday to you.
I was on the television, I was on the telephone. Every time I hear Hail to the Chief, wonder where the hell is he? Turn around and where's the president? What I can't remember it. I was in the foothills of the Himalayas with Xi Jinping.
For Secretary of Health and Education Service, I nominated
Javier Baccaria.
President Harris is a proud Howard alum.
Let's go, Brandon. I agree.
I got them $1.9 trillion relief so far.
Kleptocracy. The guys who are the kleptocracies. Representative Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? I didn't think she was going
to
be here.
And now, to give you a tour of Bidenville before your extended stay, here's John and Ken.
John and Ken Show. John Cobalt and Ken Champeau, KFI AM 640. Live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app, on the Radio 1 until 4 after 4 o'clock. Whatever you missed, the John and Ken On Demand podcast on the iHeart app.
Well, there is a book. It's called The Last Politician Inside Joe Biden's White House and the Struggle for America's Future. How come these people always have such long titles?
I bought it today on Kindle.
Yeah.
And I only read a few pages. Obviously, I didn't have time. The prologue. And I'm a little confused, and I want to see where this book really goes, because the prologue, this guy is giving Biden a tongue bath.
Yeah.
The writer is Franklin Foer.
He's with the Atlantic.
Right. Yeah, he's a typical weenie liberal media guy, right? So the first few pages in the prologue is like hero worship stuff. That the secret to Biden's success is everybody underestimates him and what he's capable of doing. But all these excerpts that are coming out confirms, you know, what everybody can see with their own eyes.
You're not going to sell a book if it's a tongue bath, until people read it, they'll find that out. But you want to put out some excerpts to get people interested. And yes, they would probably be the critical ones. The one we're going to focus on first is apparently a story in the book that back in March of 2022, while addressing a crowd in Poland, Joe Biden said that Vladimir Putin cannot remain in power. In short order, that was walked back by White House staffers. Joe apparently complained that they're treating me like a toddler. Was John Kennedy ever babied like that? According to Foer in the book. So we bring you now to today, where Peter Doocy from Fox News asked Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House spokesperson, about that part of the book.
President Biden is the oldest president in U.S. history. Why does White House staff treat him like a baby?
No one treats the president of the United States, the commander-in-chief, like a baby.
So there's this book that says...
That's ridiculous.
When staff
ridiculous
back
claim.
What sounded like a call for regime change in Russia, the president, quote, rather than owning his failure, he fumed to friends about how he was treated like a toddler. Was John Kennedy ever babied like that?
So look, I'll say this. There's going to be always a range of books that are about every administration, as you know, that's going to have a variety of claims. That is not unusual. That happens all the time. And we're not going to litigate those here. That's something that we're not going to speak to. There is one thing that I do want to, because I think I was asked this question last week by one of your colleagues about this particular excerpt that they were referring to. And so I'll say this, you know, we did see the context of the excerpt, and it seemed to be making the opposite overall point about how the value of his experience and wisdom resulted in rallying the free world against authoritarianism, which is important. We have seen this. You all have seen this. Passage of the most historic agenda in recent history, in his handling of foreign policy, like rallying the world around Ukraine.
Shut up, as you just heard
from our national security advisor.
Yeah, it's a lot of diarrhea.
This is like Kamala Harris's sister. Ay, ay, ay. Woo! Oh! My head hurts listening to that. Stop it. Boy, it took her a long time to figure out how to twist the conversation in another direction and start talking about his experience in leadership. Well, this is what I don't understand. What is the charade that they all play at these news conferences? Why is everyone playing pretend? He's senile. He blurted out something which he believes. Of course, he wishes Putin got removed, right? It would make life easier if Putin got removed. Of course he meant that.
You're underrating him again.
That's right. And so, you know, he's pissed off because he meant what he said. And they are treating him like a toddler. And they didn't treat John Kennedy like a baby. And that's all correct. He's actually lucid in those observations.
Well, nobody
could admit that the reason he blurted it out is because he's going senile. Because you're not supposed to say those things out loud because it sounds like we're about to do an invasion to assassinate him.
This is kind of what we're talking about. Here's a clip, I guess, from the weekend. FEMA in Florida. Biden went down there after the hurricane hit that state. And here's a 12-second excerpt.
I am going to Florida. I'm going to Florida Saturday morning.
All right, thanks, everybody.
Where am I going?
Right this way. Secretary, right this way.
Yeah, that's what we mean. Where am I going?
Who's I'm going to Florida.
Toddlers, where am I going? Their mother takes them by the hand and guides them to the next position. She does this every time he's up at a podium on a stage. He just stands there like, what do I do? Tell me.
It is frustrating because the opening part of the book where I kind of understood, like, that scene we just played, right? I understand the motivation he has. He waited to be president all his life. And when he finally got there, his brain failed. But this was his lifelong dream. He worked for it for decades. He ran in the 1980s for president. Yeah. And now he gets there, and he can't remember where he is, where he's going, who he is,
it's
what he's doing.
It's going to be very frustrating, right?
It gets frustrating. So stop treating me like a toddler. Why are you treating me like a baby? Where am I going? Why do I have to go this way? It's like, wait a second. Why is everybody telling me what to do? I'm supposed to be telling all of you what to do. But he can't get a hold of his mind because it's all worn out, shot. I understand.
Another chapter on Kamala Harris says that she had rabbit ears when it came to criticism in the White House. She was instantly aware when anybody in the inner Biden circle said something negative about her. She also insisted she did not want to work on women's issues or anything to do with race. She wanted her office to be majority female and to have a black woman as chief of staff.
You know what's really funny
there? She
created
too many rules, they said, for this to make it work very well.
I just read that all the political insiders, the Democrats, right, that hover around Biden, they're frustrated because they know one of the biggest issues the public is going to have with reelecting Biden is he's not going to make it. And Kamala Harris is sitting there and they can't remove her and put in somebody else like, say, Gavin Newsom, because she's the first black female vice president.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the very thing that she doesn't want to discuss. She doesn't want to discuss black issues, female issues. She doesn't want that stuff. But that's the whole reason she was selected. And it's also, ironically, now the reason that Biden is stuck with her, because nobody wants to risk woke blowback by replacing her on the ticket.
And we know she didn't want the border either. Remember, he gave her the border problem and she kind of rejected that, too. She didn't even want to go there.
I don't know. What is it that she's supposed to be good at that she should be in charge of?
It doesn't say from the excerpt I'm reading what she wanted in terms of assignments is what she didn't want.
Because, you know what? Just like everyone's afraid to say Joe is senile, everybody is afraid to say, Kamala, you don't have it. Whatever it is you need to be president, you don't have it. You're not going to get elected by yourself. And you're gonna make people not vote for Joe because they don't think Joe's going to be alive at the end of the second term. But because nobody discusses this out loud, we're trapped doing this theater every day. It's weird.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere. iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Well, if you think things are tough in this country, we go once again for the harsh justice of Saudi Arabia, which has sentenced a man to death based on his Twitter and YouTube activity. Mm. That would be pretty harsh. They're kind of considering him a terrorist because they believe that he is threatening, of course, the royal family in that country. His name is Mohammed Al Ghamdi. 54-year-old retired teacher. And apparently he has been posting on Twitter, or now known as X, and YouTube about the injustices of people that have been imprisoned in that country. And they just consider that to be...
yeah, I don't think he was threatening. He was questioning the government.
He was questioning the government, right. According to a Saudi Arabian researcher, repression in Saudi Arabia has reached a terrifying new stage when a court can hand down the death sentence for nothing more than peaceful tweets. Apparently, they've taken him to a prison, and he's been held in solitary confinement for months. His family was unable to contact him during this period. He didn't have access to a lawyer. Saudi interrogators questioned him about tweets and political opinions and asked his opinions about individuals in prison for exercising their right to free expression. So that's basically what he was doing.
I'm guessing he answered all their questions incorrectly.
Describing the king or the crown prince in a way that undermines religion or justice were among the charges. He was sentenced to death on July 10th. Is that still hanging there, right? Is that beheading or is that firing squad? They seem to have used beheadings. A host of different methods over the years. Yeah, sometimes they do mass beheadings because that one really
Yeah, they executed 81 men on March 12th of last year. It was one of the largest mass executions in a long time.
Was it, I guess, all kinds of crimes?
41 belonged to the Shia Muslim minority. And that minority has long been discriminated by the government, according to this Human Rights Watch report.
Right.
They just kill whoever they want to kill.
Yeah, you know, well, that keeps the peace, right?
You know, you belong to some group they don't like. You say stuff. You post stuff online. It's like, you know, we don't have to listen to this.
Keeps everybody quiet. That's right.
You know, the Saudi royal family does not want to wake up in the morning and go on social media and read a bunch of pushback, right?
No, exactly.
No, they just don't want to do it. So they send their men down and they pull the guy into the office. It's like, you know what? We're cutting off your head. You should have stayed off Twitter or X or Meta, whatever the hell you call these things, and just said, don't do it. We don't want to hear it.
Tim Conway Jr.
Hey, no.
On deck here.
Hey, we got Alex Stone was at the Burning Man Festival, so we'll talk to him,
He told us he didn't go. He went.
Hey, Bellio, just tell me he was there for the interview.
Was he naked?
Yeah, we'll say he was there. Jimmy Buffett passed away. That was a huge deal. Man, that's a great guy. Great, huge loss.
Yeah, no, I loved his music.
He was the best. Rolling Stones are releasing a new album. That's cool. And a passenger with diarrhea forces a Delta flight emergency landing. God, how do you get over that?
They took out all the carpets.
Oh, my God.
See, you're right not to travel anywhere.
Well, look, you got to really examine your diet when a plane has to be, you know, landed in a different city because of your diarrhea.
What was the last thing he ate?
Dude, man, where's the calopectate or Imodium?
Right. Oh. Yeah. Ken knows. You know, everybody who travels knows, Imodium.
You bring that stuff with you.
Imodium
right?
is your best friend. Yeah, and you try to crank them out of their silver cases, their little liners, before the trip.
That's right.
That takes a long time, doesn't it?
As John said, he thought he could get down that aisle in time, but I guess not.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, I want to know something in that Atlanta airport, because next time I'm passing through that airport, I want to know where this guy went.
Yeah. But is he on the do not fly list? Got to be.
Oh, that's a good point. It's a terrorist attack.
Yeah.
That's scary.
What a wild story, man. You know, that should be the sign when people come into the United States, the first thing they see is a painting of that guy, you know, crapping down the aisle. That's what this country is all about. And then Mark Thompson is here as well, so we'll knock it out.
You got it. Bring it on,
Let's
buddy.
Go.
Hey, you've been listening to The John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast.
Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.